morning, everyone. Mark Parsons, pastor of Great Hope Christian Fellowship Church here, and striving to serve the Lord and doing it His way, not my way. And striving to encourage all those who may be hearing today and also those that are here to also trust God and walk in a relationship with Him. That is the bottom line. I want to share something with you here based upon this powerful truth. His servants are to whom you obey. So whomsoever is Lord of your life, you are a servant to that God. Your fruits will prove that. The first thing to do in examining the power that dominates me is to take hold of the unwelcome fact that I am responsible for being dominated. I want to say it again. The first thing to do in examining the power that dominates me is to take hold of the unwelcome fact that I am responsible for that domination. So whoever you yield yourself to as a servant, you're responsible for that domination. Now this is good. It says, I am a slave to myself. If I am a slave to myself, I am to blame because at a point way back, I yielded myself to that. Likewise, if I obey God, I do so because I have yielded myself to Him. I've yielded myself to the Lord. You yield yourself to the Lord, you're going to get what? God things. You yield yourself to the God of this world, you're going to get God of this world things. And the God of this world cannot, it's impossible for Him to give you the fruit of the Spirit. He's going to give you all the fruits of the flesh that you can possibly think of or conjure up. Hatred and malice and bitterness and all those things. The fruit of the flesh is what this God of this world has to offer. He cannot give you the fruit of the Spirit. This is good. Talk about childhood on a bike and learning things. And that's why it's so important to have parental guidance that is godly guidance. Parents need to be in love with Jesus and guide their children in that same life. Yield in childhood to selfishness, and you will find it the most enchaining tyranny on earth. We teach Addie, it's not about you. It's not about you, Addie. It's about others. And you know, my birthday's coming up. I want. She's been talking about her birthday for a long time. But we're teaching, it's not about you. It's about others. You know, we get gifts and things, and that's appreciated. But it's not about her. It's about others. There is no power in the human soul of itself to break the bondage of a disposition formed by yielding. You cannot break a bondage on your own. Some people, yeah, I know, they do things that kind of strive to overcome, but it's not the godly type overcoming. It's just you doing what you can do. Yield for 1 second to anything in the nature of lust. Remember what lust is. I must have it at once. Whether it be the lust of the flesh or the lust of the mind. Once yield, and though you may hate yourself for having yielded, you are a bond slave to that thing. How many of you ever done something and you just, oh, I wish I wouldn't have said that?
Yeah.
And once you say something, it's like taking a handful of feathers. It's real windy out there today. I'd like to take us outside with a handful of feathers, the real fluffy, light feathers, and go outside. It's a pretty strong wind, and just hold your hand out, and they're going to fly over. Now go pick them up. So it's like our tongue sometimes is like a handful of feathers. You just blah, Sarge, or blah, cop. I slowed down. It didn't stop, but blah. Now you're going to give me a $150 ticket. Or I went through a school zone not too long ago, and I got confused with it in the fire department. They had a flasher up there, fire department, right over here in Early, but it was also a school. And I went through, and I was going 35 in a 20-mile-per-hour zone. The fine is doubled. It was almost $400. You dirty, rotten cop! Why did I say that, Lord? No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying, the cop is not dirty, rotten. You disobey the law, and we're going to give you a ticket for that. Well, couldn't you be the nice guy just once out of 100 tickets and me be on the recipient of a nice guy? You know, it doesn't always work that way. Give it that. It doesn't work that way. I disobeyed the law. Whatever the excuse. And so you got to be careful that you don't have a slippage of the tongue or slippage of the thoughts when something like that happens, because you just throw out the feathers and they're pretty hard to pick up. But God is so gracious. He washes as white as snow, no matter the trash that may come out at times. We're in a relationship with Him, and He's not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. But He's going to grab that baby and clean that baby up, if that baby wants cleaned up. It reminds me of a child in Ohio many years ago. We all had to take baths after one after another without clean water, because Mom had to boil the water to heat the water, because we had no heater. Mom had to boil on the stove, pour it in the tub, and we all shared that water. Thinking about it. But the Lord doesn't wash us in dirty water, is my point. He washes us with the cleansing power of His blood, and He forgives us. There is no release in human power at all, but only the redemption in Jesus. You must yield yourself in utter humiliation to the one who can break the dominating power, and that is Jesus Christ. He hath anointed me to preach deliverance to the captives. You will find this out in the most ridiculously small ways. Oh, I can give that habit up when I like. I challenged a nephew one time to give up dipping. I can do that anytime I want. And boy, he had to swallow his pride. You cannot. You will find that the habit absolutely dominates you because you yielded to it willingly. It is easy to sing, "He will break every fetter," and at the same time living a life of obvious slavery to yourself. Yield to Jesus. Yielding to Jesus will break every form of slavery in any human life. And so, you know, we need to stop saying, "I can't," and start saying, "I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." Stop saying, "I can't," before you even start, and yield to the can-ness of God to be able to accomplish all things that He is involved in and that He has you doing. Stop saying, don't go there, don't entertain it, don't sit down and dine with it, the "I can't-ness." So if you got "I can't-itis," then go to the great physician who can give you, in exchange for that, He can give you all the "I cans" that you can handle. "I can't-itis" is a bad disease. Bad. There's no physician on earth that can handle it. You have to go to Jesus. He'll deal with it because He loves you. Are you a single link? Chain, mid-length, long-length, or none? Just obedient. Wouldn't that be some army to get a hold of? Moses, you don't know this, but it's not time to deliver Israel from the Egyptians. "Well, I thought it was. That's why I did that." He said, "Yeah, I know. But that was you, not me." So let's take a trip. Now, walk with me on this. He's already 40 years in Egypt. Now we're going to go out to the wilderness. And he didn't know it was 40 years. He did not know it was going to be 40 years. So let's just say you get kicked out of Egypt. We're not really kicked out. It's God's plan. I'd say more led out by God than kicked out. But anyhow, it wasn't time to deliver Israel from Egypt. And so he goes out to the wilderness to tend sheep and, you know, all the manure and feeding the sheep and doctoring them up and all that kind of stuff and doing agrarian type things. But just imagine you being out there for maybe 2 weeks and you just left Egypt. You were on the balcony of Egypt. You were in command at Egypt, sitting next to Pharaoh. And you looked out over the balcony and you saw all these gardens and all these slaves and have anything you want, order anything you want. He had a good heart, but he was there and he all these majestic clothing and everything and you know, and everything that he wanted, and he's looking out over the grandness and even in the palatial dwellings of Pharaoh himself and all that stuff. And yet that was just 2 weeks ago. Now he's in the wilderness with nothing but, you know, animal skins and the harshness of the climate and all these things, and fleeing Egypt, and he's probably all cut up and bruised and everything else from running. And here he is, say 2 weeks. Golly, I've been out here 2 weeks. We're going to go back and get them guys. We're going to go back and get them. I'm ready now. I'm all healed up. The scabs are all going away. I'm ready. And the Lord didn't say anything. Are you listening to me? 2 weeks. So he says, well, maybe I'm a little presumptuous here. Let me hang out for a little while longer. Oh, 2 months. Lord, last time I was a little upset. I talked to you about, you know, a little while ago, about, you know, 6 weeks ago. And you didn't say anything, but now it's been 2 months. How about you and I have a little conversation about going back and getting the Egyptians? 2 months. Surely he was in bed for 2 years. In bed, you all know that. In bed 2 years, not out of bed, not going back and forth to the shower, the bathroom or anything. In bed 2 years. And at one point, after a long period of time, she said, Lord, how long? And the Lord says, you don't want to know. And I don't read in scriptures where Moses said, well, how long? And the Lord said, you don't want to know, but that is true. So let's just say he bears with it all. He's living, he's out there doing things, and, you know, he's being fed and all these things, and has everything, and food, water, shelter, air, and clothing. And yet after a year, he says, Lord, he said, we haven't talked for a while. Well, you know where I'm going with this. 40 years later, he appears. He's walking out, and a burning bush appears, and God speaks to him. God speaks when he wants to speak. But when he does speak, are you going to say like Moses did, here I am? And that's what he did. Moses, here I am. After 40 years, evidently, he wasn't deaf. His ears were full of wax. He could still hear God speak. Every night when I go to bed, I ask the Lord, Lord, teach me, even in my sleep, teach me. I want revelation. I want to know you. I can turn the TV on. I can hear all kind of pastors. I hear everybody saying everything you can possibly say. And it's good, a lot of good food and good feeding. And I listen. But I want to know whenever they speak, I want to know when it's God speaking. I want to hear his voice. I want to know you, Lord. Teach me when I awake and when I experience things and when I pick that penny up, God, to stay humble and people looking at me and, what are you doing? You're picking up something that's worth nothing. You can't make a penny for a penny. It costs more than a penny to make a penny. You know, y'all. But I pick it. I have to. I'm compelled to pick it up and to thank God, just like a bird picking up a seed, one seed after another seed after another piece of seed after another piece. Peck, peck, peck. Fly, fly, fly. Peck, peck, peck. There's a worm. There's a bug. You know, that all adds up. Those of you who have trouble saving money, just go ahead and put a penny away. Put a dime away. Put something away, but put it away, and you'll find out it adds up after a while. For a useful purpose, usually, at some time. Little by little is better than nothing by nothing.
Amen.
Line upon line, precept upon precept, Jesus is teaching me. Oh, he'll walk with you, but you're going to have to walk where he walks. You're going to have to walk where he walks. And you're going to have that confidence to believe that he knows what he's doing. You're his servant. A lot of times the Bible says slave, but it doesn't mean like bullwhip slave. It talks about friendship and obedience and servitude to him. That's what we're talking about. Because if he's telling men to love the wife as Christ loved the church, and women to obey and to serve her husband in the same love of God in a relationship, mutual relationship, that he's certainly not going to be some other type of God that bullwhips us and abuses us. So when he says, come, follow me, he's not going to have us come and follow him to hell. He's not going to come and to follow him into confusion. He's not going to have us follow him into turbidity and turmoil and recklessness. He's not going to have us follow him into darkness. He won't do that. It's impossible. But if you guys can get that ready, the words on that about the ship, if you can put that up there, I want us to see that, because that has everything to do with what we're talking about here today. We weren't built to go on vacation. We weren't built just to sit still and just sing. We're built to go and do, to manifest a relationship with the Lord and walk where he walks. And he might have us walk in a direction of forgiveness, that something that's been very difficult for us to handle, forgiving someone. He says, I want you to go with me because I'm going to help you and show you how to forgive. I want to show you about being patient. Tribulation works patience. So I'm going to take you through some tribulating country, and then after that you're going to be more patient because you've been just too much in a big hurry. Get on a horse and ride off in 1,000 different directions with no focus. So he might have us walk in a direction of laying our life down where we want to take it. But he is going to have us walk where he walks, not where we want to walk. And so he might have us walk in a direction and get on a horse of long suffering and teach you how to be long suffering when you want to be so impatient. We went there last week 3 times. I ain't going to Burger King no more. You know, I want to go to Wendy's. I want to go Chick-fil-A. And it's all about you. Maybe they like Burger King. Maybe it's okay. You're not going to die going to Burger King. But maybe, you know, maybe they have things to learn too. Hey, give me that. You're going the wrong way. And you grab the wheel and you're, what are you doing? You know? You're going to Wendy. I want to go to Burger King. I told you, slap, slap, slap. I want to go to Burger King. And just got through singing Rock of Ages. Clap for me. Let me eat where I want to be. You know how we are. This is powerful. Mm-hmm. This is so powerful. Yeah. What this is about is, you know, we're the vessel, we're the ship. Mm-hmm. A ship that's in the harbor. Can we read this together? I mean, you all can sure. Read, right? And you can see this, okay? For those who can't, read it together. A ship that's in the harbor is still and safe from harm. But it was not built to be there. It was made for wind and storm. Click.
SQ.
Click. Click. And all I know is you have called me, and that I will follow is all I can say. I will go where you will send me, and your fire lights my way. Though I feel afraid of the territory unknown, I know that I can say that I do not stand alone. Oh, wow. For Jesus, you have promised your presence in my heart. I cannot see the ending, but it's here that I must start. And all I know is you have called me, and that I will follow is all I can say. Ha! I do what I see my Father do. That is so incredibly simple. I do what I see my Father do. And Jesus come, Lazarus is dead, don't you care, Jesus come, no Jesus, don't go to him, this person over here is more dead than Lazarus, he's been dead 10 days, Lazarus has been dead 4 days, no, but over here, Lord, we got a cripple, and you passed him yesterday, you got to go here, and you fed 5,000, and in addition to the men and the children, there's probably 10,000, Jesus, come over here, they're hungry, Jesus, no, don't do that, Jesus, come here. I do what I see my Father do. That's where Jesus went. And they can pull on y'all, I'm telling you. They can pull on, they can attack you like wolves. My brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, my brother's wife just told me they're in from Montana. They watched this, they observed this. Two wolves went after an elk, a cow elk, and she saw it, and one of them had it, and this is how they attack. Talk about being attacked. Come here, go there, and all this kind of stuff, just like being attacked. One of them grabbed her by the mouth, and one of them grabbed her in the back, and that's how they work. They work just like you see in Africa, the lions, and they were really going, but she got away. And my sister-in-law was she got away, you know. But that's what they do. They're predators. That's what they're going to eat. They're going to do that, and they do get young elk more often than they do the bigger elk, but that's how it happens. But they attack, you know. Come here, come there. That's like you feel like you're being attacked, you know, and it's just like, God, what do you say? You know, but I read the other day in a book and so and so, he already got 100 books out, and I read another one of the books, but so and so, he said this and they said that. God, what do you say? And he's not going to withhold from you what he wants you to know. That's all you got to do. Just call out to him. You know? But we've got to go. We've got to go. We can't stay in the harbor where it's safe. The ship was not built to stay in the harbor. It was built for wind and storm. And so, briefly, today, we're talking about having confidence in the living God. That's what we're talking about. And when the Moses was directed by God himself. Can you imagine God speaking to man? He did. They literally heard his voice. I know. Wow. That's right. Say it backwards. The voice of God. They heard God speak. Can you imagine? Moses says to the people, I'm going to take one of you out of the 12 tribes representing each tribe, and we're going to go in and we're going to spy out the land that I'm giving you, land flowing milk and honey. We're going to go. That's what we're going to do. And so Moses directs them, one from every tribe, two of them, Joshua and Caleb, were faithful. The rest of them went, oh man, they were done before they even started because they didn't believe. They did not believe. He told them what God said. They might have started out with some kind of confidence, but boy, when they saw what? They saw the fruit of the land. They came back, gave a great report on that. They brought back a big cluster of grapes on a pole between them, just like, you know, wow. Big old grapes. And fertile land, but we had a problem. The land was full of giants.
Yeah, giants.
And fortresses and... Follow me here. Just look at this. In Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13. And let's just get right to something because we're just want you to eat something here that'll be beneficial to you. And the scripture's right here. And verse 25 of Numbers 13. When they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days, they proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. There was a big mission there. Spy out the land. Where are they living? You know, how are they living? What's going on? What's going on in their life? Are they battle ready? Are they not? And all the things of the promised land, they want to know everything about it. But they want to know who's living there also, and is it productive and fruitful and all these things. And verse 27, thus they told him and said, We went to the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nothing like proof, huh? All right, here, these people must have been lawyers. This is where it changes. It does flow with milk and honey. We got the fruit. Nevertheless, clause. It's called the nevertheless clause. It's like attorney language. All this is true, but nevertheless. And God told us to go, and God already told at the beginning of chapter 13, He already said, I'm going to give it to you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you eternal life. Regardless of what happens between now and heaven, I'm going to give you eternal life. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden and burdened, I will give you rest for your souls. I go to prepare a place for you. For what so, I wouldn't have told you. If I go to a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. It's already a promise. It's a given. But what happens, sometimes we say, nevertheless, right now, I have cancer. Or, nevertheless, right now, I've got pancreatic problems. Or, nevertheless, right now, I don't have a job. Nevertheless, right now, I just got fired. Nevertheless, right now, I don't have any food. Nevertheless, right now, I don't have any electric. Nevertheless, right now, my car is a mess. Nevertheless, nevertheless, nevertheless. And He's already said, we have a home in glory. He's already said that. That's a given. With that, not instill hope in your heart, regardless of what happens to the car, regardless of what happens to your body, regardless of what happens when people say, regardless of where you live or don't live, regardless of all those things, does that hope not, is that hope not greater than all the negative things that you can come up with? Nevertheless, clause. Well, it is to me. I hear what I'm saying right now. I want to live this way. I want to live in hope. I want to live in the confidence that God gives. He gives it to us. We can't give it to yourself. You're saved by grace through faith, not of yourself, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. So God gives us what to give back to Him. Amen. He gives us what we give back to Him. It's from Him. That's because it's pure that way. So I don't care. Hell or high water may come to you in your life, but just know that He said, I've already given you eternal life if you just believe. Hung on that cross, beat Him to pieces, shredded Him, filleted Him, and did all those awesome, horrible things. And He was God in the flesh. He could have said, I don't need this anymore. This hurts. Do you think because He was Jesus, that nailing you to that cross, I mean the brutal Romans, just, you're not anesthetized? Oh, let's give them some, that's going to hurt, man. Oh, that's going to hurt. Oh, you're all numb now. Now, come on. You know, the anesthetist was the body reacting by God giving it grace to deal with it, or shock, or whatever. Brutal. Well, yeah, I kind of heard about all that, but right now, I have to walk to work. I have to walk to work. Oh, bless your heart. Hey, look down, look down. Look, what do you see? Well, what? 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 You got feet? You got legs? You may have to get up a couple of hours early. Maybe you can pray for a bus ticket. I don't know. Somebody might give you a bike. You see how we are? Nevertheless clause. It's a killer. Mike, it's a killer. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land, verse 28, are strong. What they're saying is stronger than God. That's what they're saying. And the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Oh, the giants are there. A giant is greater than God, bigger than God, stronger than God. Well, David proved that they weren't. You see, all these things, excuses. not to have confidence in the living God. Excuses. Nevertheless, clause. Look with me, and this, we're going to get to the close of this here. Amalek is living in the land, verse 29, and the Negev, and the Hittites, and Jebusites, and all the other ites, and all the other ites, Canaanites, living in the sea by the side of the Jordan, verse 30. Then Caleb, a man of God, faithful, quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it." Why does he know that? Because of what God said. I gave it to you. So here's a positive response against all the negative, nevertheless, clauses. And in verse 31, "But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us.'" Too strong for God is what they're saying. That doesn't please God. God is greater than cancer. God is greater than finances. God is greater than all the messed up relationships and families and all the stuff that goes on and all that people say. God is greater than all that. So they gave out the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone and spied out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. There also we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim, and we became like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and so we were in theirs."
Grasshopper. We got him on our stove at the house. I look at him almost every day. Okay. So he's up here looking at me eyeball to eyeball now. But when you have a relationship, or what you're trying to say is, we are like grasshoppers
in our own eyes, and so we are in theirs.
If that's what you picture yourself as, then that's what the world, that's how Satan's going to picture you too. "Oh, I'm just a little grasshopper, and God is not able to handle this situation with me right now because of all the problems I got. I'm just a little grasshopper," and Satan loves it. You stay grasshopper. You stay grasshopper. Yeah, you stay grasshopper. Boom! And it scares you, and boom! And you just tremble. You stay grasshopper. Nevertheless, people, look at the difference between that grasshopper and me standing up here. It'd be like me standing what? At the World Trade Center. Incredible. But this is their confession. We are like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we are in their sight. That's how they see us. And that's why Goliath mocked David and all those things. "You got a man out here, bring him out, you know. I'll butcher him before you." And David says, "You come at me with your sword and a spear, but I come against you in the name of the living God." You want to be a grasshopper, or do you want to have confidence in God? Go ahead, live a grasshopper life. Crawl on the ground. Try to get out of the way of people's footprints and cars squishing you, smacking you. Try to get out of the way of all the things that go with it. A bird. A dog just getting tired of you flying around. Just wah! Grasshopper. Or child of God who trusts God like David did, who slew the bear and the lion with his bare hands, empowered by God. Remember, the hand in the glove makes it function. There's so much to this. It's so powerful. And today, I just want us to eat on some of the things that we're talking about. But let's go to a very, very powerful scripture here about where we should be in trusting God and not being a by the way clause or nevertheless clause. And that is the scripture that we have in Philippians 4:13. I want to close with this scripture in different translations. Philippians 4:13 in the NIV, New International Version, it says, "And these people," by the way,
The point is, these people back there with Moses should have been saying this. In addition to Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb represented 16% of those that went out. 83% did not. You know, about 83%, 17% did, and 16%, 17%, 83% did not believe God, and they had fears. It's always a minority, isn't it? It's always a remnant that trusts and believes God. 2 out of 12. Positive report. NIV says, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Strength. And Shirley touched on this at the beginning of service, before we even started, and sharing with us before our worship. Dunamis is what comes out of the word strength. I can do all the things through Him who strengthens, who gives me strength. Dunamis! That's where we get the word dynamite. That's where we get the word, the power of God, the dunamis power of God. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength, who gives me the power to do them. He gives me the power to forgive. He gives me the power to be long-suffering. He gives me the power to have faith in Him, even though I don't see how it's going to work out today. And all these things are piling up. How many of you know the giants can be accumulation of a lot of things and not one thing in themselves? You start out today, didn't like what she said, didn't like what he said. That's one thing. So that monkey jumps on your back. You go a little bit further, and somebody says, you know, what are you looking at? I said, I'm not looking at anything. I'm minding my own business. No, I see what you're looking at. What are you looking at? And then wanting to cause trouble, another monkey jumps on your back, whether to fight it or not, or leave it alone. And you go down the road a little bit further, and somebody goes along. It's a rainy day. Big old bus comes by and splashes all your new clothes. You're going on an interview. All your clothes are dirty right now. That's another monkey jumping on your back. Sometimes the giants are not one single thing. It's accumulation of things. A big giant get together. They all come in the pack, like a wolf pack come in. And that just stirs up the mess. The giants sometimes are like a pack. They get together. A single grasshopper doesn't seem to be too hurtful. But when you get a bunch of locusts, they can blacken the sky. Literally blacken the sun. It happens. It's happened in Scripture. Blacken the sun. You get enough grasshoppers. You can't see the light. But if you will squeak out a prayer, if you will squeak out a prayer and cry out to the living God with all your heart, I'll guarantee you that will eliminate enough of them for the light to pierce. And He says, I see you. I'm coming. I haven't left you. I never will. But sometimes you think that might be the case. And that's what the devil wants you to buy. Janet Parshall said, and I shared this with you before, in the marketplace of ideas, we as Christians only buy the truth. A lot of ideology out there. Only buy the truth. Okay, NIV. King James Version says, I can do all things through Him, through Christ, which strengthens me, strengtheneth me. And the Amplified says, I love this, the Amplified, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. That is, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I like that Amplified Version.
Wow.
Say that backwards. What's that?
That's amplified backwards.
That's amplified. Oh, it's so powerful. I'll read it again. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. That is, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. And the Zondervan parallel New Testament in Greek and English literally says, all things I can do in the One who empowers me. Psalm 27:3 says, though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war rise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. And Philippians 1:6 says, and I'm going to close with this because we can just keep on going. I'm going to close with this. Philippians 1:6. Let me have somebody read that, please. Real loud and slow. And Philippians 1:6. Who wants to volunteer for that?
And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns.
He used the word certain. I am certain. And the New American Standard says, I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it or perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Who in here knows that God has begun a good work in you? Yeah, boy howdy. Yes, he has. He's the potter. We're the clay. But to begin with, the clay. Clay is formed by silicone and dirt and rock and all kinds of stuff. And it's really compressed. Malleable clay. The potter gets that clay. He slaps it on the wheel. But if it's a little tacky, it's a little hard, he throws water on it. You gotta get some water on that thing. Get it malleable, you know, to work with it. And then he starts building up. Just quite like boom. He's got the power. God's the potter. We're the clay. He said, "No, you got a wrong attitude. We got to redo this. It ain't gonna hurt you. It didn't hurt you. Clay's still there. The clay is still on the wheel. It's got a different form right now. It's back to a ball." And he can do what he wanted to do. So he starts over again. He finally gets the vessel that he wants. But what has to happen after the clay vessel is done? What has to happen next? If I keep saying all the time, we're in process in relationship with Jesus Christ, process, process. What has to happen after you make your clay vessel? What has to happen?
Right, I'll heat it up.
You gotta heat it up.
Put in the kiln.
Yes. You gotta put it in the furnace. You gotta put it in the kiln. So after you put it in the kiln, and it's all heated up. My aunt used to do this in Columbus, Ohio. She showed us one time, made all kinds of things for the little organization she was with. But anyhow, she had a kiln and everything. I thought it was kind of cool, you know, what she did and designed. But what happens after it's all fired up, it's all hard, it's all there, what has to happen next?
Does it have to be sanded?
No.
It's all cool down.
Cool down. Cool down.
That's the next,
doesn't
it?
Ah! What do you know about this?
Really?
Yeah, put the kiln, got to paint it.
So don't you even have to smooth out things, or you already did that?
You did that.
Well, you do it with all the finger work. It's all.
Like you don't have to.
After you fire, you got to do that before you fire it up. Yeah, if you're going to do that, you got to. Before you fire it up.
So once you fire it, it's a blast.
Well, I don't think God'd be opposed to sanding some things down. We got a little burr here.
Like
there.
A little pinion. It's our little pinion.
We'll give that. We'll give that some room. And what's the final thing? Nancy, what's the final thing?
Put it out.
Decoration. Got to paint it up. See, God painted you. You're Nancy. I'm not you. I never will be you. You never will be me. We're all unique. We've got our own set of fingerprints, own DNA. So, you're going to paint Carlos. You're going to paint Shirley. You're going to paint Ted. You're going to paint Mike and Clay. You're going to paint us all up. Because he is doing a new work in us. And as we walk with him and have a relationship with him, he just makes that uniqueness about us. He just paints us all up. And it just, who's cold in here? You gotta, Shirley, could you pick it down just a little bit? So he paints us. Michelle, were you going to say something?
I'm cold.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm cold.
She's cold.
You don't need to be cold. There's a reasonable temperature, but we don't want, you know, you guys coming out here all frosted up. So, and then you paint it, Clay. Then you paint it, man. But praise God, you're in the process of the Lord, the great potter, working on you. I thank God for you, and you don't have to say a word. You already preached to me because you're here to hear what God wants to do. Now, others are hanging out. Others are doing this. Others are saying that. Who cares what they're doing? I don't care what they're doing. Mark, how long have you been here? So many years. And how many people are coming? I said, well, you know, they base that on your success somehow. Numbers. And we're going to go up before the Lord and go say, Lord, I pastored a church. You know, we started out with a family of five. We worked up to 5,000. And we had to build this $14 million place. Now we got 35,000. Oh, come and sit down beside me. Has nothing to do with anything. Here's what matters. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful
servant. And talk about faith. I did hear Joseph Prince. He was talking about it the other day. And he was saying, the Lord never said, "Oh, ye of little work ethics. Oh, you of little love. Or you of little." He said, you of little faith." It was always faith, because faith will take care of everything else. Mm-hmm. If you have faith in God, you'll take care of all the fruit of the Spirit. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Jesus had 12 that followed him closely.
Yes.
And then they ministered to others.
Yes.
So
yes.
It was like a 18.
Yes. And I heard recently too, there's a little trend going on here with home churches. A lot of people are getting together in cells and homes, and there's like a movement of that. They're not impressed with big crowds, or they just want to know Jesus, they want to hang out with him and be obedient to him. And those 12 changed the world. You know, so But anyhow, may God stir us up to have confidence in Him and what He says. And all this other stuff, all this other junk going on in our life will not interfere, because this has to do with hope. Joyful expectation of good. That's what we're talking about. You're going to have hope beyond anything you see. All the negative naysayers and all this stuff, you're going to have hope beyond that, because you're going to believe, you're going to have confidence in what the living God says. And when He says to do it, you do it. That's it. Therefore, by the grace of God, go I. And God, if you have any other attitude, the Bible says He'll teach you, He'll show you. If you've got an attitude, a little clay needs to come off here or whatever, God's going to show you what needs to be sanded down. And let Him do it. Yes. Just stay humble. Just stay humble.
What about scourging?
Yeah.
more like scourging?
Yeah, well, no, yeah, I got you. But He's not going to beat us to death. He will discipline us. And don't forget that, you know, you're not a grasshopper. And can He trust you? Or are you on a short one? If I have to be on a short one for whatever period of time, that's okay, Lord. He's not going to choke me to death. I might feel it, but it may be necessary to keep me from getting run over.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to stop their child, a little runaway child? The other day, you know, one of my guys saw something right here in Nebraska, south of Bush. This little kid, they're going to the park right here, across on Yukon. They're coming out of here, and they're going west to the park. This little boy ran. I mean, they said must have been 3 years old. He ran across that street and traffic. He goes, zoom, zoom, zoom. This guy goes, and the bumper just like right there, like a hair.
Wow.
Everybody's shocked. Bruce is shocked. He saw this kid ran right straight out from either a caretaker or a mother. Just that is off the chain.
Yeah.
That's off the chain. And that little kid, obviously, he needs something shorter than that. Save his life. Bruce couldn't believe he didn't get killed. And that's how they do get killed a lot. Or can the Lord trust you a little bit more? Or can He trust you with a long one? And after a while, you know, how awesome. How awesome. To be obedient to the Lord. That is the whole reason we're here today. The whole reason we're here today is to trust the living God through Christ Jesus and to be a servant of the Lord God Most High. That's the only reason we're here today, and to thank Him for working with us and not throwing us away. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So go tell it on the mountains. Don't be ashamed to tell anybody about Jesus, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. And without Him, there is no life. Everybody's on a fast track to nowhere except darkness and death and hell and the grave without Jesus, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. Anyone listening to this today, I hope you take it to heart. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then make it your business to do so, because He's given you a free will to choose. But there is no in-between God. There's no God, Satan, and somebody in between, middle road. There's no fence life. You have to make a choice. It's a choice of life and light, or the God of this world and darkness and death. May God bless you.